Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, Text Number 23. Yatra kale tunavritim. Avritim chaiva yogina. Priyata yantitam kalam. Yakshami varatarshava. Yatra kale tunavritim. Avritim chaiva yogina. Priyata yanti tam kalam. Yakshami varatarshava. Yatra kale tunavritim. Avritim chaiva yogina. Priyata yanti tam kalam. Yakshami Bharatarshava. Yatra kale tunavritim. Avritim jaiva yogina. Ladies. Yatra, at which, kale, time, to, and, anavritim, no return, avritim, return, cha, also, eva, certainly, yogina, different kinds of mystics, Prayata, having departed, yanti, attain, tam, that, kalam, time, yakshami, I shall describe, Bharata Rishava, O best of the Bharatas. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Please repeat. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord or totally surrendered souls do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. For those who are not unalloyed devotees and who depend instead on such methods of spiritual realization as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga, must leave the body at a suitable time and thereby be assured whether or not they will return to the world of birth and death. If the yogi is perfect, he can select the time and situation for leaving this material world. But if he is not so expert, his success depends on his accidentally passing away at a certain suitable time. The suitable times at which one passes away and does not come back are explained by the Lord in the next verse. According to Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushana, the Sanskrit word kala used herein refers to the presiding deity of time. So the text again, yatra kale tunavritim, avritim chaiva yogina. Priyati yante tam kalam yakshmi da paratarshava. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. Bhagavad Gita Krishna doesn't only deal with pure devotion. He deals with practically all the different levels of consciousness that are possible, from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, and for those also who are striving to elevate their consciousness through the modes of nature to liberation, to Paramatma realization, to Bhagavan realization. So there are many different combinations. And here, the important question that Arjuna had asked, how can one know you at the time of death? Krishna spent a chapter answering that. And in this particular verse, he says that those who are actually devotees, as he explained previously, antakale tamameva smaran muktva kalevram yak priyati samadvavam yatinas yatra samashayaha. Whoever thinks of me at the time of death, he will obtain to me without any doubt. That's a particular level of consciousness, as we heard from King Kulukshetra, that let my swan in my mind, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Panjaranjam Twayaiva Vishite Me Manasaraja Hangsa. That let the swan in my mind immediately enter into the stem of your lotus feet, because at the time of my death, when my consciousness is disturbed by the disturbance of the body, when the body becomes disturbed, then my consciousness may be disturbed, and I may not be able to think of you. When my voice chokes up, kanda devaro vina vido kutas namos smaraste. In other words, the actual ability to think of Krishna as Krishna is not so easy. If we can't do it when we don't have so much disturbance, imagine how much more difficult it'll be when we're in disturbance. Just like now, throughout the day, probably most of us don't have so much disturbance, especially not equal to that of the time of death. At least we hope not. And how much do we remember Krishna during the day? So if the time of death, when the whole body becomes, all the life errors become disarrayed, we have pain in every part of our body, we have 107 or 108 temperature that rapidly goes down to practically nothing, and then we're supposed to just, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's not so easy, unless one practices, as Krishna says, or Arjuna, because Arjuna was worried. You mentioned the system of yoga, but it seems quite difficult because the mind is restless, turbulent, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, it seems to be more difficult than trying to control the wind. So Krishna didn't say, well, Arjuna, you're a Maya, think of Krishna. And he says, Asamsham Mahabaho. Asamsham. Undoubtedly, Mahabaho. Munodanugraham Chalam. It is very difficult to curb the restless mind. So Krishna didn't think, well, it's just easy. Just think of me and everything will be all right. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, Arjuna. No, he said it's difficult. So, abhyasena, by abhyasa, by suitable practice, and by vairagya, then it's possible. So it's not only suitable practice, just like sitting here in class, believe it or not, is suitable practice. But we also have to learn detachment. Detachment from what? From the class. I'll phase out of the class. And now I'm in a different world. No, detachment from our mind so we can actually better engage in the suitable practice. For instance, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is present. But the problem is not that we're not detached, because we are detached. We're just detached from the wrong thing. We're detached from Krishna and his name. And we're attached to something else. So we have to identify the fact that my mind is attached to something else and I'm detached from Krishna. Otherwise, we can't make any progress. And then if we examine, at least with our intelligence, what am I attached to? What difference does it make, you know, ultimately, the thing that I'm worried about? Because generally, when we say material attachment, it means some worry, anxiety. It doesn't mean I'm thinking of this, you know, particular subject matter, whether or not, you know, there'll be prasadam, for instance. Because there will be prasadam, don't worry. But we might be worried whether there's going to be prasadam. But we have to see whether this will act, of course, prasadam is a special category, whether I'm going to eat today. Or it's a fast day and we have to worry about the fact that so many hours are left before we can eat. But the time will come, time is coming, time will go, and this is just in the category of some temporary thought, which really does me no good. Just by thinking about one prasadam, it doesn't bring it any closer. As a matter of fact, in my mind, it probably brings it a lot further away. So we should just think that this is just some temporary thought that's gone through my mind. So let me concentrate on something eternal. Why should I be distracted by so many temporary thoughts when the holy name, holy names are present and I have something that can give me eternal benefit? Why not change my attention from something which is obviously quite temporary, or not sometimes so obviously temporary, to something which is supposed to be at least eternal? Why not focus on that and then try to hear the holy name with some attention? There'll be plenty of time to worry about other things. Don't worry. There's plenty of time to worry about things. Even if we forget about to worry about something, if it's really that important to worry about, then write it down on a piece of paper and you can come back and worry about it later. But if it was really that important, then probably Krishna would remind us about it anyhow. But if we develop this mood of suitable practice, then, and also detachment, then the result is we can actually appreciate what it means to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes we may think it's just, you know, an ordinary activity we've been doing for so many years, and, you know, there's only so much experience I'm going to get. Sometimes the devotees, they try to increase the experience. In other words, the chanting is not enough, so you got to shout it out or you got to whirl around. One time I was on Radha Damodar, which is not ancient history, but anyhow, it was some time ago. And I was traveling with a group of devotees. We had picked up three sets of Gaurini Thai deities from San Francisco. And we traveled nonstop from San Francisco to Los Angeles to pick something else up. Actually, I guess I was in San Francisco with a party of Radha Damodar. And we picked up three sets of deities in L.A., and then we drove nonstop to Chicago, which is like, it's more than 24 hours. It's a lot more than 24 hours. And then when we got there, Prabhupada was there, Srila Prabhupada was there, and he was going to install the three sets of Gaurini Thai deities in the three buses of Radha Damodar. And Prabhupada gave initiation, I guess, probably 50, 60 devotees, which was a lot back then, from Radha Damodar devotees. And during the kirtan, the devotees wanted to really impress Prabhupada, so they did what was called a hot step. You know what the hot step is? You know, the whole, you know, as fast as you can, and, you know, the whirling around, and everything. And Prabhupada just stopped everyone. He just stopped. And he put up his hands like this, back and forth. Prabhupada was not impressed by how fast we could move our feet. The hot step. So why was that? Was Prabhupada like an old fogey and he just didn't understand the youth and all the energy and their inspiration? No, because we're not trying to hot step ourselves into, hot step means real passionate dancing, into the spiritual world. We actually have to hear the holy name. And if we're so busy watching ourselves dancing, as Rita Dayananda Maharaj once said, this is just a side comment. He was in Brazil, and this is some time ago also, and the devotees were complaining about the ladies, that they should send them all out to the forest or something. And then Rita Dayananda Maharaj said, "But why? How can you do that? Then who will the brahmacharis dance for?" So the idea is, if we want to hear the holy name, we have to hear the holy name with some kind of, you know, concentration. And if we're concentrating on our dancing so much, how will it be possible to hear it all? Therefore, from the very beginning, Prabhupada's dancing was, I saw Prabhupada dance a number of times. And Prabhupada's dancing was very, very, it was extremely graceful. Even one time in Buffalo, when Prabhupada was giving a class at the university to students, one of them remarked how, you know, Prabhupada, how gracefully the old man is dancing. He danced very, very gracefully. Actually, one time I was with Prabhupada and I was holding an umbrella over his head and we were going to a press conference in Dallas. He had just arrived at the airport. And Prabhupada was just like walking, but he was like gliding. I was just like practically running to keep up with him. He was so... So that kind of gracefulness is really conducive to actually concentration. But sometimes we think that, you know, you can just chant Hare Krishna any way you want and do whatever you want, think whatever you want, and it's equal credit because my body's there wherever my mind may be. But actually, we're there and we have to learn how to actually do things in such a way, not only then but during the day, that is actually graceful and done in Krishna consciousness. And then we'll have the proper attitude and mentality when we're chanting Hare Krishna. And all these temporary things that we have to deal with, they won't seem as important as Krishna does. Then we can, if we practice like that, even at the time of death, when the most disturbing thing happens to us, then we'll be able to concentrate on chanting nicely. On the other hand, those who are not practicing in that particular method, then they have to arrange everything completely nicely. Therefore, they have to renounce everything. Because in the material world, practically everything is disturbance. Because practically nothing is going on the way we think it should go on. For the materialist, everything is going wrong. So therefore, they're always trying to rearrange everything. Especially brothers of the Westerners. And every time someone became a temple president, they'd spend a fortune rearranging the whole temple the way they thought it should be. That's like the material mentality. Prabhupada said, call it the changing disease. even the president of the United States, every time a new president gets into office, they spend millions of dollars redecorating the White House. He's going to be there for maybe 4, maybe 8 years, but the whole White House has to change according to who's going to live there for 8 years and spend a fortune. You know, more than the most wealthy person's house they'd spend on the most wealthy person to buy a house. They got to redecorate the whole place. Because everything has to be according to the way we think it should be. No, we have to learn tolerance, and we have to learn how to take what's actually valuable as primary, and the things that are not so important, the things that are temporary, put them into their perspective, deal with them, but not make them the primary thing that's so important that I always have to think about them under all circumstances, even when we're chanting Hare Krishna or doing service or when we should be concentrating on Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, all the impersonal, those who are karma yogis, jnana yogis, astanga yogis, to different degrees, they have to make everything perfect. Especially the astanga yogis, they can't live in society. They have to move where there's nothing to bother them, hardly any distraction. You know, they can't think, I don't like the color of my deerskin rug, maybe I should get a new one. No, they're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no department stores. They can't buy a new deerskin rug. They can't always change the kusha grass. I've been sitting on this kusha grass for a week. Maybe I should order a replacement from Amazon.com. Now they sit there in the deerskin, and they have to. The only thing they're supposed to be looking at, concentrating on, is the tip of their nose, which is probably not changing very much. Unless a bird flies by. Then the color may change. But that's all they have. It's a very simple life. So that takes a lot of concentration, a lot of lifetimes to come to be able to accept such a simple life. So jnana yoga, karma yoga, they're really a means of accepting a simpler and a simpler life, so that eventually one can actually engage his life in a very simple life of thinking about Krishna. So we ourselves are starting from that platform of thinking about Krishna as the primary objective, and even in the midst of our life, we're trying to utilize in Krishna's service in such a way as to make thinking about Krishna as simple as possible. And the nice thing about that is because thinking about Krishna is pleasurable and enlightening, and therefore in itself becomes encouraging to make our life more and more centered on Krishna, the more we actually are able to think about Krishna and experience enlightenment and happiness from doing that. And then therefore it becomes self-inspiring. And when we come to a certain platform, then it constantly becomes encouraging and enlightening just to hear and chant about Krishna. And therefore in itself is inspirational. Until that, we have to hear, we have to practice, and try to develop that inspiration. And therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya, I always get this wrong, so we'll try anyhow. Maya datsvam manoma yemam nityukto pasate sharaya pariopetas. See, I got it wrong. Maya vesha mano yemam maya nevesha, no, actually. Maya vesha, maya. Maya vesha mayi mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivashi shashima eva atuaravam nisamshaya. Just think of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. So with properly developed intelligence, we know what's important and what's not important, and therefore we can easily focus our mind on Krishna. But Krishna says if you can't do that, Ata chitam samadatun maisha fixing your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, this is chapter 12. Maya buddhim niveshaya nivasha shashima eva atoravam nishamshaya ata chitam samadhatu mayi na shaknosi maistira abhya sena yogena tato mam ishantu dharanjaya. So again, the same thing is repeated as always. That if you can't think about me without deviation, then Krishna uses the two things. Shaknosi, practice, and abhyasa, practice. steadily in the practice of devotional service and develop the desire to obtain me. So more or less Krishna says the same thing in different ways here. We have to practice to develop the desire, that is, detachment from material desire and attachment to spiritual desire. So this explains vairagya a little bit clearer. Vairagya means attachment to Krishna, means detachment from the material nature. So Krishna says, try to develop the desire. And the desire is very simple. Just hear and chant. And the thing that distracts us is our material hankerings and lamentations. So try to understand them properly. Try to understand what's eternal, what's temporary, and take shelter of the eternal and not be so worried about the temporary. Do what's necessary, to satisfy some of our basic needs, but not unlimitedly or excessively be worried about what's going to happen, because whatever is going to happen is not under our control. Ultimately, it's under Krishna's control. So, we'll stop there. Any questions, comments or questions? Yes.
What is the difference between yogi human body and devotee human body?
Depends what you mean by devotee. We have what's called three classes of devotees. Two of them are Kanishtha Adhikaris and Madhyama Adhikaris. And then we have the Uttama Adhikari. So generally speaking, the Kanishtha Adhikaris, the Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says, the nectar of devotion, and the Madhyama Adhikaris, they come back to take up the process of devotional service again. Especially if they sincerely practiced. Or else those who are not so, especially the lower class Kanishtha Adhikaris, who didn't have much interest in Krishna consciousness, generally they go to the heavenly planets for some time, and then they take birth again in families of Brahmins or merchant people, where they may begin the process of devotional service again. The Uttama Adhikaris, they generally join Krishna in his eternal lila in some universe and they get trained up by the Nitya Siddha devotees how to engage in Krishna's eternal servant. And when they're qualified, then they go back to the spiritual world. Anything else? Yes.
How can we deal with bad habits? For example,
Well, take shelter of Krishna, because we're not going to be able to deal with anything by ourselves. We can only deal with things by taking shelter of Krishna. So we see something's wrong, we can pray to Krishna to help us correct it, and we can chant Hare Krishna. Try to understand things philosophically. Take shelter of Guru, Sadhana, Shastra. That's the process of anartha nivritti. This is in Bhagavad Gita. Everything is in Bhagavad Gita, actually. We just have to read it so we can find out where it is. Otherwise, someone asks a question, you say, it's all in the Bhagavad Gita. Just read Bhagavad Gita. One has to get rid of all these three stages of attachment to the material world. Negligence of spiritual life, fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of material conception of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regular principles of devotional life. So, same solution is there. Take shelter of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and then that way we'll gradually be able to improve how we regulate our life. Otherwise, without higher taste, without some spiritual strength coming from contact with Krishna, coming through the disciples' succession, through devotional service, we won't have the power to control anything, neither our mind, neither our senses. what to speak of anything else.
Therefore, often we find that people who first you commit offenses against the devotees,
and then after committing offenses, we can't control our senses and mind anymore because we cut the root. And then the way we find out, we wind up oversleeping, overeating, we can't make any progress in devotional service, but we don't really understand the root is that we're not, especially due offenses, knowingly or unknowingly, consciously, because due to offenses, we don't take shelter. And because we don't take shelter, the senses and mind control us. So, the idea is not I'm offensive. No, we should try to not. The best way of not being offensive is to take shelter of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, which means take shelter of the devotees through a devotional service. So the more we feel ourselves dependent on Guru and Sadhu, which includes and Shastra, and we apply that in our daily lives, then the more the senses of mind will be under Krishna's control rather than illusory energies. Yes. It's all, everything is up to Krishna. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvara. But a devotee who's fully engaged in devotional service, he's already with Krishna. So that stage is, well, we're already with Krishna too. We're already back to Godhead. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are already here and we're with him. I mean, to a certain extent we are. But when one is actually intimately connected with Krishna, generally, and as least eligible to join his pastimes, is the stage of bhava. Because we find in Krishna book, there are the Rishi Chari gopis, the Veda personified gopis, the ones who came from the Vedas personified, and all of them, it explains that they're at least, well, let's say that when the gopis were going to join Krishna's pastimes, all the Nityasiddha gopis went, when Krishna played his flute, they all went to join with Krishna in his rasa dance. And some of the ones who joined Krishna's pastimes were already perfect at the stage of prema bhakti and had developed up to that stage. They also joined. But some of them who joined, who were not fully advanced, was only at the stage of bhava, only had bhava bhakti, then they were not allowed to join Krishna in his pastime, so their seniors kept them back. But due to the intense separation, that burnt away whatever previous sinful reactions may have had, which was not very much, and whatever pious activities they had previously had, and then they were able to leave their bodies and join Krishna in their spiritual form. So it doesn't mention anyone lower than Bhava Bhakti. Of course, we find in Dwaraka, there are persons there we also find devotees join Krishna in his pastimes, in his Leela. Demigods joined his pastimes. It doesn't mention they went back to Godhead, but they're able to participate in his Leela. But generally, so participate in Krishna's Leela is one thing. To go back to Godhead, Bhava Bhakti is really, or Prema Bhakti is the base. No one in the spiritual world has anything less than Prema Bhakti. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. Prema is basically the beginning platform of full Krishna consciousness. And then it goes Prema, then sneha, mana, bhava, raga, anuraga, and then mahabhava in different stages. And according to the rasa, one develops his prema to different degrees.
In any case, Prabhupada tried to be as encouraging as possible when he was asked sometimes, you know, what percentage do we have to become perfect? He said, you know, 100%. He said 90, 80. Because the devotees would be, we want everything immediately. If anyone heard it, it's going to take you 100%, you know, forget it, I'm going to get my job back. 100%, too much. So Prabhupada understood we were generally pretty impatient. But the inconceivable mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna are also there. But one has to also qualify for that inconceivable mercy by making a sincere effort. But Rupa Goswami says that generally devotional service is a continuum over many lifetimes. And then sometimes someone, even without participating in a previous lifetime, sometimes they may also join the devotional movement. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kaur Premanande.